You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Well, we started a new series last week, y'all remember? So it's an appropriate one. We're talking about your identity, the soldier, the farmer, the athlete. And so just real quick, let's look at that scripture. Let's look at it in Timothy. Let's look at it in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Everybody say, I'm a good soldier. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wards him tangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Everybody say, I'm a soldier. And a man also strive for the mastery, yet he's not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And that's talking about an athlete. And so even more modern translations talk about an athlete there. Verse number 6 says, the husbandman or the farmer that labors must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding of all things. And so we're talking about three different parts of us, and it's interesting this year. It seems to me the Lord is really, I think I'll use this word, obsessed with your identity. Because the world is trying to redefine you. Media, social media, political correctness, everything that's going on is trying to redefine you, trying to rewire you so that you will think different, so you will talk different, so that you will be conformed to this world instead of conformed to the image of God. And it's a war and it's a battle, but we're going to win. We're going to win and we're going to help other people win. And so the Lord, since the beginning of this year, seems obsessed with who you are. We have to know who He is, but you also have to know who you are. And so again, further describing you, and He wants you to know that these things are who you are. He sees you with the qualities and characteristics of a soldier. He sees you with the qualities and characteristics of an athlete. He sees you and even put in you the qualities and the characteristics of a farmer. So we're learning about those. And so last week, we looked at some things. And so just in way of review, we said that number one, we are told to fight. How many of you know you're in a war? The Bible says to fight the good fight of faith. What's a good fight? Well, for me, a good fight is the one that you win. Amen. Everybody say, I'm a winner. And then the number two thing we have to know is you have an enemy. Did you know you have an enemy? You are in a fight and you have an enemy. Who is your enemy? People are not your enemies. Different cultures, not your enemies. Nothing like that is your enemy. But there's an enemy and his name is Satan. I remember there was something I was going through earlier this year and I said, Lord, who's behind that? And he said to me, Satan. I'm like, yeah, okay. And? No, just Satan. I thought he was being a smart aleck, but he really wasn't being. So God talks to you that way? I'm like, yeah, we have that kind. He knows me and he knows how to get my attention, but it was just the truth and he wouldn't say anything else. How many of you know the enemy doesn't like you? The Lord told me again last night, he said, you know that he doesn't like you. He hates you. Because see, a lot of times in the church, we think if we won't bother him, he won't bother us. But that's just not the truth. He's been bothered a long time ago. He got bothered when he got kicked out of heaven. He got bothered when he crucified the Lord of glory. He always thinks he has the upper hand, especially in your life. But the Lord is teaching us how to win. But see, you've got to know in the church because there's two ditches in this. There's the charismatic ditch where everything is the devil and the devil this and the devil that and cast out this spirit and do this and this and this. It is never anybody's fault but the devil. And then there's the other church that no, anything that happens is just the will of God. There is no enemy. There is no fault religion. In other words, whatever happens, que sera, sera. I didn't know when I was singing that as a little kid, that was actually Spanish. That, you know, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Some of you are old enough to remember Doors. Some of you don't take the time. All right, so, but the truth is, there's these two ditches. But the truth is that, yes, God has given us the victory because Jesus destroyed the devil. In 1 John 3:8, it says he came to destroy the works of the devil, and he did. Colossians 2:15 says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of him openly, triumphing over him in it. But you have an enemy, and you have to reinforce that victory every day in your life. Amen? Not concentrating on the enemy, but when he shows up, how does he show up? With circumstances, with sickness, with financial problems, with family problems, with any kind of mountains that he would put in your way. When they show up, you got to learn to deal with them. You don't have to go looking for them. They'll come to you, but you got to learn how to deal with them when they come. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Ghost, and there he met up with the devil, and he was able to defeat him, and he showed us how to do it. I want you to know, you do have an enemy. And to ignore him is to ignore him at your own peril. To say he's stupid is for you to be stupid. The devil is a lot of things, but stupid is not one of them. He's been deceiving people for millennium. And he'd love to deceive you, but you and I are not ignorant of his devices. Amen? So you don't have to study up on the devil. You study up on God. And you learn how to enforce your victory. So number one, we are told to fight. Number two, we have to know our enemy. And number three is where we left off. You got to know you got some weapons. Come on, every soldier, I'm told in a basic training, they have to learn their weapon. In other words, they learn it so well that with sleep, no sleep, with bad conditions, with people screaming at them, whatever, I've heard that they've had to learn to take apart and put their weapon back together in the middle of the most adverse circumstances, because if something goes on with their weapon, they need to know it. And what I'm concerned about in the body of Christ, especially this body, is you hear these things talked about, but do you really know your weapon? In other words, it's kind of like reminded me of this. Y'all remember, it was a couple days ago for me, at the age of 16, you went through, where I went through in high school, we all had to go to driver's ed class. And so we learned the book, and we watched movies, and we heard them talk about it, all right? But it wasn't until you actually got behind the wheel. I do not know why they don't pay those. Like where I came from, it was coaches, like football coaches and basketball coaches. Usually it was the ones that weren't important coaches. They put them into the car because in case they died, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. So it was usually the football coaches and the, because where I came from, basketball was king. And so, you know, so, but man, what an awful job. To have to, you know, usually there was three teenagers in the car and we all took turns. And we had that huge sign, you know, as we drove down Route 1, it said driver's education and everybody was like turning off and everything. Nobody, especially when we all went downtown to Parallel Park, the parking lot's cleared away, you know, so. But it's not until you do it. And see, where I come from, the 12-year-olds and the 13-year-olds are driving because we're farmers. So a lot of them had a big advantage, you know. But really the truth of the matter is when it comes to the car, the truck, until you actually use it, you don't know it. You can learn about it all you want. And that's one of the things we want here. We want you to know God. We raise up a generation from infants to adults to know him so that you can make him known. I don't want you to know about him. I want you to know him. And the only way you know him is through his word. And then the only way you can know the weapons he's given you is through using them, through experience. And so I want to remind you of those things today. And before we look at those specific weapons, I want to remind you what the Lord told you to do. So when you have an enemy, when it comes to being a soldier, everybody say, I'm a soldier. So you're a soldier in the Lord's army. And so every time I say that, I hear, onward, Christian soul, going back to vacation Bible school. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. So what are we doing? We've got weapons, and we're going to look at them. But what are you supposed to do? What's the purpose? Be sober. Be vigilant. Be what? Be alert. Be vigilant. Everybody say vigilant. See, that's not casual. I'm not going to casually go through this. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, everybody say resist. Resist means to do what? Stand against. Anytime something comes, how many of you know this? We got to start here. That you've got to know then. One of the things that I do, I was talking to someone recently because, you know, they didn't realize how much some Christians don't really know what comes from God and what comes from the devil. Because see it, hear it, we ought to put John 10:10. We should have erected something out and put it in the parking lot or something. Because John 10:10, I think, is the foundational thing that you've got to start with. Jesus said that he came to do what? To bring life. What did the devil come to do? And so the two will never meet. But a lot of believers don't know that. In other words, they love Jesus, but they don't know that. And so whatever happens in their life, did you used to be like this? So whatever happened in their life, they just thought, well, it's just part of life and I have to put up with it. It's flu season, so you take the flu. Recession's going on, so you do without, right? Families have problems. Moms and dads don't get along. Everybody gets a divorce today. See, that's the re-transformation. That's the rethinking. That's the rewiring the devil's trying to do. But the truth is, Jesus said, I've come to give you life, an abundance of life. And the devil is the one stealing, killing, and destroying. Now, if you've ever let the devil steal, kill, or destroy, that's in your past, forgetting those things that lie behind. Let it go. But you're in today. You're here right now. So right now, we're going to learn how not to let the devil steal, kill, or destroy anymore in our lives. You can't go back and fix yesterday. Let it go. But today, going forward, I'm not going to let him steal. I'm not going to let him kill. There is no destroying happening. Because I understand some things from the Word of God. And so the first thing you've got to do is know what? You've got to know who is the author of what's coming. Because if you don't know where it was sent from, you'll not know whether to accept it or resist it. If it steals, kills, and just listen to me, a four-year-old can figure this out. And I don't mean that derogatory. It just takes a preacher to mess this up. If it steals, if it kills, if it destroys, it is 100% always from the devil. No, Pastor Mark, sometimes good things come out of bad stuff. James, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. If it's good, it came from God. But the Bible does say that he can work all things together for good, but it doesn't mean that God sent it. He can get in the middle of it and turn it around for your good after you believe, but it doesn't mean he sent it. Amen? Because see, if you don't know where it came from, you don't know what to do. And you're paralyzed. But you and I know where things come from. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We're not ignorant that he's a thief. We're not ignorant that he steals and kills and destroys. We're not ignorant of that anymore. So any of that stuff comes at you and me, we're resisting it. Come on, we're resisting it. How many times? All the time. If it comes on Monday, we're going to resist it on Monday. If it shows back up on Tuesday, we're going to resist it again. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he'll do what? Flee. That word flee means run from you as in terror. You're not supposed to be running from the devil. He's supposed to be running from you. Amen. because you're submitted to God and you're resisting the devil. Amen. Well, the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. It tells us to do this. It tells us to stand. And it tells us to stand against. Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against. Everybody say, stand against. The wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore you take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Amen. What are you going to do? We're going to stand. And having done all to stand, we're going to stand, and we're going to stand against. So we're going to withstand. We're going to withstand. In other words, when the devil or his circumstances or things are coming against us, we're going to stand against. It sounds like to me, you and I have got to do something about this. A wrong prayer would be, God, please take care of the devil. I have a good help me Jesus prayer. Anybody got a help me Jesus prayer? I use my help me Jesus prayer a lot. If Peter can use it while he's sinking, I can say, help me, Jesus, too. And help me, Jesus is sometimes right, and it works. But there, help me, Jesus isn't every prayer, because I was kind of, you may not understand, I was kind of messing with the Lord a little bit. And he said, well, that's nice, but in this one, you need to stand against. You need to resist. Having done all to stand, you need to stand against. You need to oppose. And so you've got to oppose. If you're looking, listen, Jesus has done everything he's going to do with the devil. He defeated him. Now he's given you the authority and you the power, and we're going to look at your, he's given you some weapons. But first and foremost, he told you to resist. Turn to your neighbor and say, resist. Turn to your other neighbor and say, stand against.
Stand against.
Who's doing it? You're doing it. You're doing it. You're not doing it on your own, though. You gotta understand that you've got weapons. Now, when it comes to these weapons, you gotta know them. I'm always reminded of King David before he was King David. I love to talk about this. We talk about this. We have our men's group. We have a Mighty Men. And we got that from, King David before he was king. He took all the men and they came to the cave of Adullam. And he turned those 400 men who were in debt, who were disquieted, they were just dissed. They were just bad. And he turned those 400 misfits into 400 mighty men. And those mighty men, why did they follow him? Why did they come to the cave of Adullam? Everybody wants to follow a giant killer. Everybody wants to follow a giant killer. I serve a giant killer. I serve a giant killer. My Savior is a giant killer. My Savior, hallelujah. He got rid of somebody bigger than Goliath, who was ruling and reigning over the whole earth. I serve a giant killer. And so, those men went to the cave of Adullam, and he taught them what he knew that God had already taught him. And one of the things you see was when... In 1 Samuel, let's look at this, 1 Samuel 17, verses 38 and 40. You all know the account. I mean, Goliath is mouthy. How many know the devil's always mouthy? He's always going to tell you what he's going to do. He's always bringing circumstances, always trying to make you afraid. And he had made, Goliath had made all the armies of Israel afraid. Even the king was afraid. How do I know that? Because he was off in a corner. And so 1 Samuel 17, we're looking at David said, I'm going to take care of him. I've taken care of the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, he's nothing for God. Who is this that defies the armies of the living God? And so Goliath was saying what he was going to do. And David began to say what he was going to do. I'm going... And so then the king said, hey, young man, come over here. And so in 1 Samuel 17, 38, and Saul armed David with his armor. How many know what a big honor that was for the king to give this little shepherd boy his armor? And he put a helmet of brass on his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. He was walking out the door. But he had not proved it. He had not what? It looked good. He felt like a man. He's going to do some business. He had the king's armor on. You tell me that stuff was polished. That stuff was fine. That was the best of the best. And he went to go out the door. And then, what'd he say? And David said to Saul, I can't go with these because I haven't proved them. And he took them off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put him in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistines. You can't win with something you've never proved before. In other words, when a cold comes, you ought to resist it in case cancer ever comes. When the Lord tells you on your way to work to go a different route, you ought to obey that in case you're driving somewhere you don't know and he tells you to get off on a road that you have no clue where you're at, that you can have confidence that you know the voice of God. If you're single and she's pretty and you're out to dinner and the Lord says, leave her alone. See, you've already proved that because you were with a group of friends and he said, stay away from this one because bad company corrupts good morals. And, you know, that person, you didn't know it, but has a tendency to get people off doing other things, even though they say they're a believer. In other words, you have to work this every day. Amen. Because when the big stuff comes, because you don't know when the big stuff's coming. You don't know when the giant's coming. I can promise you that he is. If you've had a season, you know, I'm not saying he's going to show up every day, but there are things that are going to show up in our lives that we got to know how to take care of. And you can't use my revelation. You can't use your spouse's revelation. You can't use Kenneth's, Bill's, I'm going to give you all my favorite preachers, Creflo's, Joyce's, TD's, Bishop, excuse me. You can't. They can teach you. They can minister to you, but you've got to know it. Now, I'm grateful that we're in the army of God, and that means we don't have to always do it on our own. Are you grateful for your brothers and sisters in Christ? That's why we want you to go to those connect groups, because we want you to make friends so that you can have somebody to help you out every now and again. Let's look at this. Let's go. Everybody say, know your weapons. You got to know them, right? Not know about them, you got to know them. That's what David was saying. These are fine. Thank you, King, sir. These are your weapons. I've never used them before, and so I'm going with what I'm comfortable with. I know how to use this sling and these stones. I know how to take care of a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, he's going to be nothing. As a matter of fact, remember, I just can't pass it by. Goliath was out telling him what he's going to do. And I love what David said. Today, I'm going to cut your head off. And I'm going to feed it to the birds. So I wouldn't talk to the devil like that. Then you won't win very many victories. He's no one to be feared. You should rule and reign in this life. Now, you can't go saying that kind of stuff because David did or because somebody else talks that way. But when you know your weapons, come on, you're a winner. You're a winner. Let's go over these real quick. Ephesians chapter 6. I could just minister an hour on each one of these, but we're not going to do that. Verse 13, wherefore take on you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So the belt of truth. The belt of truth is the logos, or the written word of God. And if you don't have the logos, because see, that belt of truth held everything together. The written word of God in your life will hold your life together. You must have the logos in your life. Number 2, it says this. Have your loins girded about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. You need a revelation. Thank God for the revelation of righteousness that is coming to the body of Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What is a breastplate? A breastplate protects the vital organs. A breastplate protects all your vital. How many of you know the things that could cause your death instantly in a fight? If a sword went into your heart, into your lungs, into your, you know, this part of you, the breastplate is showing you that that is protected as you fight. Righteousness protects you. Righteousness, a revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus, protects you. A revelation of righteousness causes your faith to work. Knowing who you are in Christ will protect you from the assault of the enemy, knowing that your righteousness is filthy rags, but I'm not in myself anymore, I'm in him. It is a protection against the wiles of the devil. The third one is this. It says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. These shoes are blessed shoes. These shoes come in two parts. And so you have two parts of peace with God. You have the peace of God, and you have the peace with God. How many of you know, you and I now, because of the blood of Jesus, we are at peace with God. Because we're born again. And then we have the peace of God. My wife and I kind of joke about this one a little bit, because when she teaches on this, she's like, these are, you know, they're not really weapons. But I got mine from, I don't have these shoes of peace except for spiritually, but my favorite minister, one of it is Rick Renner, and I love to read after him. And he gives a graphic description of these shoes. And these are killer shoes. Not like you ladies wear stilettos. Those could be killer shoes. If a guy's, if you ever stepped on top, like if the high heels are, those are killer. You know, yeah, but you know, not killer that way. These shoes had spikes on the bottom of them. And those shoes are what you use to finish off your enemy. You stepped right on top of them and kept on marching. Those shoes were in two parts. They went up to your knees. Peace with God. And the peace of God. Jesus used peace as a weapon. Peace, be still. Amen. You are fully armored, ready to go. Above all, that word above all really means in front of all. How many of you know we have a shield of faith? And that we quench the darts. How many of you know the enemy has weapons too? And he's throwing fireballs at you all the time. He's throwing darts at you all the time. And these things explode. They're meant to explode when they hit you. But you have a shield of faith out in front of all. And this was a huge leather soaked in water, a shield that when those fiery darts would hit it, they would dissolve. They wouldn't do anything. So thank God for your faith that's out in front of all. Hallelujah. You have a shield of faith. And then it says, and take the helmet of salvation. Praise God. Are you born again? The helmet of salvation. Most of the battle of your life and my life is right here between our ears. That's where the battleground is. If you've never read Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind, you should get that one, because right there between your ears is just where the biggest battle is. But you got a helmet of salvation. Your mind transformed by the word of God. Hallelujah. Your mind going through the process of transformation, and it'll change your life. And that gives you, because when the devil's thoughts come, you can understand that's from the devil. Or a God thought comes, you'll know that's from God. But you've got to renew your mind. And then it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That word of God here is rhema. Rhema here is spoken word. That word, it's a double-edged sword. That word double-edged means two-mouthed. It means a two-mouthed sword. In other words, you can say it like this: he say, we say. The word of God came from him, and that's he say. But it doesn't become double-edged till you say. And that's how Jesus, remember when I told you that he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness, the devil came to tempt him. The devil came to mess with him. The devil came to defeat him. But Jesus always answered with what? He said, it is written. Everybody say, it is written. It is written. You can't say it is written if you don't know what is written. Well, I think Pastor Mark said, not good enough. I think Gloria said, not good enough. I thought I heard Pastor Rhonda say once, Not good enough. You have to know what's written. Because you got battles. You got battles. Now, the great thing I want to talk to you about, just a minute, felt inspired to do so. I talked to you a lot about singularly what you can do as an individual. But one of the things I found is you don't have to do this on your own. In war, in the time of war, you usually have help. One of the things I loved about the shield of faith is, as I studied it from different things I've read, if they wanted to get somebody, a dignitary or a commander, from one place to another, they would hook all their shields together and they would surround him. And then they would put one shield over his head and they would transport him to another place. I would love for you all to get up your shields of faith and help us. Help Pastor Ron and I, pray for us, believe God with us, protect us. Not a, oh Lord, bless them prayer. I mean, get in there and pray. And the same thing with you. Again, one of the reasons we do Connect is we're trying to get you to be able to make friends so that if you've got something going on in your life, you can call a friend. You know those game shows? You know, phone a friend. What is that? That cab show? Do a shout out. Hallelujah. Y'all know that one? I mean, whatever. But the truth of the matter is, you don't have to do this on your own. You can connect your shield of faith with someone else. The Bible says when any two of you agree together, it's good. Thank God, you and your spouse, you need to be agreement partners. But it's good also to have friends. It's good to have someone that you can text or call and say, hey, you know, I had a friend one time, a minister friend, and that's where my friends are. Different minister friends, he called me one time, and I knew he was having trouble because he said, Mark, tell me everything we preach is true. And I know, he's in trouble. So I just began to encourage him. It's good to have friends. It's also good when you're in a shield of faith and somebody that you're trying to protect gets a little squirrely and trying to get away, you can yell at him and scream at him, say, get back under here where you belong. Try to protect you, try to watch you. It's good to have people. It's good to fight together with the sword of the Spirit, with the Word of God. Amen? How many of you know you don't have to be an island unto yourself? We need one another. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, 3 through 5 talks about pulling down of strongholds. Where are strongholds? They're in your mind. But you have weapons that win. Other weapons that you have that win. How many of you know the name of Jesus? At that name, everything has to bow. Come on, somebody shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Somebody shout Jesus.
Jesus.
When you say that name, everything the enemy is trying to do has to bow. The Bible says in Revelation 12, it says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The blood of Jesus is a weapon that wins. Amen. I know some people in our circle don't like us pleading the blood of Jesus, but I'm going to keep pleading. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep talking about the blood. What I'm saying when I plead the blood is I say the blood has been spilled. The blood is still powerful today. It's sitting on the mercy seat. If a type and shadow put on a doorpost would cause a death angel to pass over, when I speak the blood of Jesus, when I talk about the blood of Jesus, things have to change because the blood still prevails today. Amen. And I overcome with the word of my testimony. What is that? The sword of the Spirit coming out of my mouth. Amen. We win every time. Hallelujah. Now listen, I want to tell you this before we go today. I wish I could stand up here and say to all my fellow Cornerstonians that you know what? If you'll just be a good kid, if you'll just come to church and give your tithe and join a connect group, that the devil will quit bothering you. But I can't promise you that. I can promise you that if you'll become a soldier, understand who you are, understand your weapons, and you'll use them and gather people around you that will help you, I'm telling you that you can win every time. I can't promise you, man, I wish I could. I wish I could promise you the devil was going to leave you alone because you're beautiful and you're wonderful, which you are. But I can't promise you that. What I can promise you is if you'll use your weapons, you will win. And you need to hang out with people who know how to use their weapons. You need to hang with people who love the word and speak the word. Listen, you go and you listen long enough to, well, God causes that sometimes, and sometimes, you know, healing's not for everybody, and God don't care nothing about your prosperity, because you think, well, you know, it's not gonna bother me. But you know what? Those are seeds. And those seeds will begin to produce, and before long, you're questioning things. But if you stay with the word, then you have an answer for everything. And when the devil comes, you'll be able to win every time. Everybody say, I'm a soldier. Say, I'm a winner. Pray this with your heart. Just say this with your heart. Say, Lord, teach me to use the weapons that you've given me. Amen. The armor of God, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Amen. Isaiah says that no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. But you've got to do what? You've got to condemn it. Amen.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.